Sahana vavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 31, Text 24-221, page 10. Terror. Hearing the roaring of the terrifying bull demon, the cowherd boys became fearful and almost deaf because of the loud sound. They began to shout, "Krishna, please save us." Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes ghastly activities also support strong ecstatic love for Krishna. This state of mind is called ecstatic fearfulness under illusion. In the 10th canto, 23rd chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement by the brahmanas who are performing sacrifice. We have all been born into three advantageous conditions. We are in high Brahmin families, we have ceremoniously received the sacred thread, and we are also properly initiated by a spiritual master. Right. So here we see is that you have the three aspects. You know, they're born in the Brahmin family. That's the first birth. They receive the second thread. That's the sacred thread. That's the second. And we have been properly initiated by the spiritual master. That's the third. Does that make sense? Just like ourselves, we get the second and third together. We call that second initiation.
Yes.
Right? But alas, in spite of all these advantages, we are condemned. Even our observance of brahmacharya is condemned. The Brahmins thus began to condemn their own activities. They realized that in spite of being so elevated by birth, education, and culture, they still were under the spell of the illusory energy. They also admitted that even great yogis, who are not devotees of the Lord, are covered by the influence of material energy. This kind of hopelessness felt by the Brahmins, who are performing ritualistic ceremonies, shows practically no attachment for Krishna. Right, so that hopelessness means they have all these things, but it's not so much about Krishna. Right, they're just pointing out that we have all these advantages, but we're not absorbed in Krishna. Right, so that brings about this hopelessness. There is another hopelessness, however, which shows attachment for Krishna. When the bull demon attacked the damsel of Braja, they began to cry out, "Dear Krishna, please save us. We are now gone." This is hopelessness with an attachment for Krishna. Right? So the one, it shows just their unfortunate position when in comparison to Krishna. And in this one, that it just establishes their attachment for Krishna. They're taking shelter of Krishna. Right? So you have devoid of genuine rati, and you have with genuine rati. Right? Does that make sense? So, yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. It has previously been said, at 2.16, that even the independent Vyabhichari Bhavas are always dependent to some degree on Rati. But in verse 2.20, Rat Yanu Sparshana was described as being devoid of even Rati Ganda. And of course, Ranti Shunya, in verse 2.18, was described as being completely devoid of Rati. So, completely devoid. That, or it doesn't even have a fragrance of it. It'll kind of look, or it'll have some touch of it, or it'll actually have rati. Right? In order to remove the contradiction, an example is given in this verse. Because they were cowherd boys of Braja, they had genuine rati at all times. All their Vyabhichari Bhavas were dependent upon their rati for Krishna. However, by the terrifying sight of the bull demon, the Vyabhichari Bhava Trasha in relation to the demon, not in relation to fear for Krishna, Krishna's safety from the bull, arose on its own spontaneously. Footnote 7. In the case of inferior, dependent Vyabhichari Bhava, a rati which is neither primary or secondary is the direct cause of a Vyabhichari Bhava in a devotee with permanent rati. Arjuna's fear of the universal form's destructive powers directly gave rise to moha. In the case of independent rati anusparshan of Vyabhichari Bhavas, a Vyabhichari Bhava not related to Krishna arises on its own due to certain circumstances, not directly through any rati in a devotee with permanent rati. Right, so something from outside, it can see something from there, and then they just take shelter of Krishna. So the emotion comes up, but they still take shelter of Krishna. Yes. So the thing here, the point being, is that in either case you have to think of Krishna, no? So the point is taking shelter of Krishna. Because it's still a matter of a question of shelter in Krishna. Right? Both of them mean a shelter in Krishna. One of them is you're taking shelter that he'll protect. The other one, you're taking shelter and then he may protect or not as he pleases. So they're the same thing, no? As far as remembering the Lord, taking shelter of the Lord. But generally in dangerous situations, you keep it a little shorter. Unless you think really, really fast. Alisa?
Sometimes when we meet difficulties in our life.
Yeah, but then you have some time to think. But here it's just an immediate reaction. Yeah. The point is it's up to Krishna. He knows what's best and he'll protect us as he sees as best. But the point is we're taking shelter of him, as who will protect. Otherwise, you can just... think that yourself you're going to take care of it or something like that. Like Arjuna is depending on Krishna. Duryodhana is not.
Right?
That means it's the lowest category because only when it's in danger do they approach. But we're talking about here, when someone has rati, that they're always absorbed in Krishna. And this is just another way it comes up. Something comes from outside, and because of that, then it comes up and they take shelter of Krishna. So in any case, they're absorbed in Krishna. But it's just something's coming up from Krishna himself, or something directly connected to Krishna, or we see it comes up from something outside, not related to Krishna. Right, seeing the demon, then they get afraid, so then they take shelter of Krishna. But they're always absorbed in Krishna. Right? So, but the point is even if we're not thinking of Krishna, something dangerous comes up, we think of Krishna, that means one's a devotee. So, if one's not thinking of before then, and now you're thinking, so that's not as good as if we're always thinking, so that's why it said it's the lowest. Alright, so this idea, I'm not thinking of Krishna, but then if it's danger, and then if I think of Krishna, that's the lowest, and I don't want to be the lowest, so therefore I won't think of Krishna at all, then that's not exactly the right conclusion from this information. Does that make sense?
Regarding this question, it comes up again and again. Devotees, they don't know. Sometimes they ask about the demigods. That's probably they heard from the Hindus. And sometimes they feel... kind of guilty feelings, should we ask Krishna or shouldn't we ask Krishna?
But who else should you ask?
That's the point.
It's just like this. The kid wants a cookie. So should they ask the mother or should they go and ask the neighbor? Or perhaps, call up 911. This is an emergency. I'm hungry.
That's the better
option. You understand? It's just... there is no other option other than Krishna. Who else is there?
Can it come from the idea that devotees sometimes they don't understand their own position and they try to pretend they're on a higher level?
Yeah, yes, you could have that. Because the whole point is when it says it's pointing out that position in comparison with other positions. And so the other positions, then one is always working for Krishna's, one is always working for Krishna's benefit. And we see also generally at that level that they're always absorbed in Krishna. So if one's not always absorbed in Krishna, always working for Krishna's benefit, that itself puts us on a lower platform. But the point is, you know, it means, how you say, let's say we're on a car ride to Calcutta, right? We're trying to get to Calcutta. So then when you get in the car, you know, then somehow or another, we can either put some grumpy old guy in the car, or just the car itself, you know, because nowadays they talk and everything. Then they start, you know, complaining about, yeah, you're nowhere, look at where you are right now, you're nowhere near Calcutta, you know, like that, what's going, you know, like this. And then as you get going, it's complaining, but as you get closer, it complains less until you get to Calcutta, and then it says, now you're fabulous. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that it's not about social status. It's about that you're on a progress. So Prabhupada makes a point. If someone's in the shower, you don't complain that they're dirty, because they're following the process to get clean. That's why they're in there. They'll get clean by that process. You know, saying that it's a waste of time to criticize. So we see that this whole point of finding a fault in a lower level of consciousness that's Krishna conscious, that's recommended, then what's the benefit of that, since it is the process that will bring you to the platform of prema? So things are pointed out that can be obstacles to attaining prema, slowing down coming to the platform of prema because you get distracted. So if all we do is ask Krishna for stuff, that won't be as good as if we're trying to do things for Krishna. But it also says that connecting to Krishna is the important element. So even if you have all desire, turn to Krishna, because he's the one that actually deals with it. Someone else doesn't. The demigods or fate or this or that aren't the ones that deal. It's Krishna deals with it. So, yes, and then you just identify that we're at a lower level, shouldn't we be trying to do stuff to actually please Krishna? And so then we'll start to look at aspects there, and wherever we can fit it in, we'll try to do something. And that way, then we'll continue to advance. But this idea that it's a social prestige, so I don't do that, and this, like I remember one devotee, he had a service to do, but because it was, I think that they just asked him to do the service. But then, you know, it becomes more and more until it's a full-time service. But then they weren't really giving him anything for it. You know, but they didn't know that, you know, I mean, one, they should have figured out, but in any case, they didn't, that he needed some maintenance. So I said, well, why don't you just tell him that you're doing this, you don't have any other maintenance. He says, no, but you shouldn't ask anything from Krishna. So he ended up leaving Mayapur, going back to his own country, and you never really see or hear of him. And somehow or another, that was the, you know, the, how you say, the advanced understanding of not approaching Krishna for anything. You know, so that's the point that Bhagavatam makes. Even you have, you approach Krishna, whether you get or not, that's up to Krishna. But the point being is that if one wants to move forward, you have to actually know where you are. Because if you take it, okay, let us say, if we're here and you're trying to go to the temple, then you have to follow a particular path to get there. You know, if you're at the Maha shop and you want to go to the temple, right, that's something else. Now, if I say, well, the Maha shop, you just, okay, turn to the left, you know, go a few meters, and then turn to the right, and a few meters, you're in the temple. So now, if here, you know, you turn to the left, go a few meters, and turn to the right a few meters, there's a good chance you'll bump into that wall there. you won't be at the temple. So how is that practical? You know, so that's the difficulty, is that honesty of where we are, then we know, and then from there, then we practice and move forward. But the point is if one is turning to Krishna at that time, that's the meaning of the devatas. The demons, if something doesn't work out, they just make a new plan. Well, the devatas, things don't work out, they turn to Krishna. Right? So then it comes to the point where you're just absorbed in Krishna already. Right? Is that what I'm saying? It means when things are going great, are they they're turning to Krishna? No. But when things are going wrong, that's when they're turning to Krishna. And then feeling bad about that. But why didn't they feel bad about things? They were doing it themselves and not thinking of Krishna, and that's okay. You know? Why that's less materialistic than turning to Krishna. Because remembering Krishna is not materialistic. Asking something from him materially, that's mixed. But remembering Krishna is not. But not remembering because you're taking care of it yourself, how is that? That has zero to do with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, it's just like people complain, oh, all things are bad, why is Krishna allowing this to happen? When things are going good, you know, then are they thanking Krishna for when it goes fabulous? Or they think, wow, I did this, I did that, and look at, I got the results of so many things. I worked hard, I was diligent, and so therefore I got all this. But if anything goes wrong, it's Krishna's fault. Anything goes right, it's our glory. Why not, you know, things go right, that's Krishna's, you know, benefit. Things go wrong, that's our fault. Because, you know, we're the one that's done something stupid, and so now, you know, saying, so that's the thing, is this Ajnana Shakti turns everything around backwards. So that's why what the Acharyas explain, then it makes it more clear. So, the idea of that is that then you'll start to do things for Krishna rather than not ask Krishna about, not talk to Krishna. Like that. Yes?
What if you're working from difficulties and you tell us, let's pray to Krishna? Because you told me, no, I pray to Krishna only about Krishna Prema, but I will not address him about some material
tasks. Okay, that's fine. But then is she now, when there's a problem, is she praying to Krishna for Krishna Prema, or is she talking to you and feeling bad? So then, you know what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be better to pray to Krishna than to just talk mundane gossip? Right? But that's the thing, is that we take it that our normal things that we, you know, see as our standard lifestyle, that's perfectly normal. You know what I'm saying? And then when we have to think about that and this, then that has context whether we'll use it for Krishna or not. Is that so? Yeah. Yes.
And if we, the devotees have a mission, the authority said you should have a service, you should do the service, but the health is not good. And we turn to Krishna, but the health is not improved. So...
It doesn't improve.
So,
but still, you're becoming more Krishna conscious. See, because the activity itself is going better or worse is not necessarily the main judge of Krishna consciousness. Right? That's the time factor. So by the time factor, then in 11th canto it explains that sometimes it works really nicely and sometimes it doesn't. Right? So sometimes we see is that things develop and go wonderful, and sometimes not. Like the example is given, sometimes the demigods, everything's there, they're running the universe, and sometimes the demons come along and kick them out. And but it's just a matter of time before they're back in, because that's how things are supposed to be. So we have a service, and that the service goes nicely, that's what it should do. But at the same time is, it doesn't mean by the influence of the time factor that it doesn't not go nicely. So, but in any case, we always take shelter of Krishna. Like that. And then try to use the intelligence, how to understand what to do to improve the service. You know, we don't just say, oh, it's up to Krishna, so it doesn't matter. No, we try to do our best for Krishna. Yes?
If you were to know talking to you at this some of the bad things, but can't we put together and do some action, like for example, the idea of the Lord in the center that also must be purification and fasting?
Now, what's the difference between a yajna for Lord Narsingadev and praying? They're both serving Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? One's in Bandhanam and one's in Archanam. So it's just, point is you're turning to Krishna. But it's a matter of, do you want to be Krishna conscious during that time, or you just don't want any problem to come up? You know what I'm saying? Now, that you're turning to Krishna, that there's no problem, then that's better than not. But it's better is just that you'll always be able to remember Krishna. That was Kunti's point. When things were worse, she was remembering Krishna more. Now that things are better, she's remembering Krishna less. So therefore, it was better when it was worse. You understand? Most likely the origin of that. You're finding all the origin, all the contemporary concept. You know how you say the material wisdom,
yeah.
The tradition, and like that. And, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. In the case of the Brahmins performing sacrifice, that they had at least a semblance of rati chaya, though not pure rati for Krishna. Right, so there's something there, but they're attached to the rituals and all that, and so then they're doing that in Vrindavan. Thus the example of Vyabhichari Bhava of Nirveda in verse 219 is classified as Rati Shunya, devoid of pure Rati, but not absolutely devoid of Rati. Right? So Rati Shunya means it's not pure Rati. There's some Rati. Right? Not means there's absolutely no Rati at all. 24222. When a Vyabhichari Bhava shows a touch of Rati, even though it remains independent, it is called Rati Ganda Svatantra Vyabhichari Bhava. Just keeps getting bigger, right? Bashfulness. 24223. Bashfulness. Oh, my daughter, I know why you are wearing that yellow cloth on your body. Do not try to hide from me your attraction for Krishna. End quote. When Mukara told this to Radha, Radha quickly hung her head and covered her face with the edge of her cloth to hide her shame. Srila Jiva Goswami. Mukara's inferred Radha's longing for Krishna by her display of great passion. Since her secret had been revealed, Radha tried to conceal her shame, Vyabhichari Bhava. A trace of Rati can be detected in Radha's action. Radha's great attraction for Krishna causes her transgressing the rules of Dharma, which caused Mukara to make her statement, which caused Radha's shame. Thus Radha's shame, directed towards Mukara, is caused by her Rati for Krishna. The shame is independent, being directly caused by Mukara's accusations. Right? So that's what I'm meaning about this. Dependent means within the Rati itself, there's an attraction for Krishna. Right, and so from that attraction and all that, then the different Vyabhichari come up. Right, then those things are not directly connected to Krishna. Like we see, like Aristasura walks in, but there or here, Mukara says something. So it's not directly connected to Krishna, but it has something. Right, it has a fragrance of, because her attraction is because of Krishna. Right, so because of Krishna, then she's gone out and spent time with him. And because of that, being absorbed in Krishna and all that, and not being aware, therefore in the morning, then Krishna ends up with Radharani's garment, and Radharani ends up with Krishna's garment. Right? So therefore, then those are switched, so when they wake up in the morning, Then Mukara, then she notices that because Radharani, you know, her garment is blue, but here now it's golden. That's Krishna's. So she says, don't try to hide that you're attached to Krishna. So the embarrassment or the bashfulness is coming from Mukara, but it's not that it doesn't have a connection to Krishna. It's because of her attachment to Krishna, That's why the situation has come up, right? And the discussions about that. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean she has less, only a fragrance of attachment to Krishna. It means the cause for the vyabhichari to come up. Because these things are only there to add flavor to the existing rati. So the strength of the rati is not adjusted by the vyabhichari bhavas. Does that make sense?
No?
What?
My rati is stable.
Rati is stable. What we see is that you have here is that the Brahmins, they don't have actually that much rati. It's just a small amount. So we see is that it's also independent from Krishna, because they're thinking we have all these good qualities and this and that, but we're unable to serve Krishna. So the emotion's coming up not from the connection to Krishna, but from the things that are not connected to Krishna. They're religious activities. And from that, even though they're so religious, they couldn't take shelter of Krishna. Yes. Just thinking, the electric ones make less noise. Okay. So being direct, so the shame is independent, being directly caused by Mukura's accusations, but showing a trace of rati. Mm-hmm. Since Madhura Rati is the indirect cause of the incident. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's because of her Madhura Rati with Krishna that this incident's come up. Yes. But it hasn't just come up out of the blue.
Yes.
Or out of the golden in this case. Yes. Right? So, yeah. Footnote 8. In the case of Ratyanu Sparshana, Rati is a cause, as a cause is more indirect. Being a general cause, because the devotee always has rati for Krishna. Right? So it's just showing different means. That is it coming from Krishna, or it's not coming from the rati with Krishna? Is it, you know, it means, is it coming from something else, then it's connected, and so it's adding to the connection with Krishna, or it has a little fragrance of that connection with Krishna? Or it's indirectly coming from something connected. It's just showing all the different ways that the rasa can move. So that's all. So that's the fineness of what you're dealing with. You know, so the taste is in these, not in the academic aspects. It just means that all these different tastes, then they're able to appreciate.
Yeah. In the same time, quite a few person can have and express the rati in a different way.
Yes. It's always, it's all, it means the rati is fixed. That's why it's called sthayibhava. But the point is that the flavor gained from that, the taste gained from that, that's unlimited in how it will manifest. Because you have your position, but then you have also all the others' position.
Yes.
You know, and you have Krishna's mood and all that, all these personal aspects together, then will cause the variety.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yes,
so, just, you know, when we study this, does it mean then Rasik Bhaktas, when they read Srimad Bhagavatam, do they experience all of those?
It just depends on how much, I guess, they're absorbed in the rasa, knowing the rasa. But it appears from this that Rupa Goswami and his associates do. Like you see when we were discussing in the 10th canto, Prabhupada's talking about the wonderfulness of what a taste there is in this pastime of what was the one that was just being described? Atrinavarta, I think is what it's on in the temple. You know, so the Trinavarta, and none of these demons have any power compared to Krishna. They're powerful compared to us, but Krishna's unlimited power. So that power, he's generating universes, and they're able to, you know, knock down a mountain or something. You know, as Banasura with his thousand hands can beat a mountain into dust. But Krishna creates universes just by his breathing, or by his breathing in. They disappear. There's no more effort than that. Right? And he has to work hard with a thousand arms, right? You know, he's sweating and all that kind of stuff. That's the one advantage in the Vedic system. Because you may have 10 arms, but you still only have 2 armpits. Right? Could you imagine 10 armpits? That's a problem. You know, Banasura, 1,000 armpits, but now beating on mountains and all that? Yeah. Yeah. No? Sorry?
Don't use deodorant.
I think they don't have to. Oh, okay. Okay, so it doesn't really matter how many.
The sweat's fragrance.
That works
fragrance.
Out. Yeah, but I don't know if you could say that about Banasura. Right?
So the associates of Rupa Goswami, we were discussing?
Yes, until we got into armpits. Right? Shows where the rati is. Right? And it takes off, right? Everyone can relate. So they're able to appreciate all these aspects, but it's not that it's a jnana aspect. That may be there in the Shanta Bhakta. He can appreciate all these different things and all these things like that. But the point being, they can appreciate all the subtleties of rasa. They're absorbed in the subtleties of rasa. So yes, when dealing with Srimad Bhagavatam, in any case, they can appreciate the rasa. And then if they know more about it. The point is, if you appreciate the exchange of devotion between the Lord and the devotee, that's the main point. And these are subtleties of it, of the different varieties of. You know, it's just like, let's say, you cook a good meal, and basically everybody can appreciate it. But someone who has a little bit more understanding can appreciate, you know, what spice you use, what techniques, what all the, you know, the uniqueness of how, all that kind of stuff. Point is Krishna is perfect, so any aspect is going to be good. But it's just, it can always be finer and finer. Does that make sense? So Rupa Goswami giving this, it's the science, so then, and Srila Prabhupada gave it to us, so it can appear that they can taste all these kind of aspects. You know, so they can appreciate the fineness and the difference between them and all that. So then it's a good thing. But it's not coming from jnana. You know, it's just one is able to tell the difference between the elements of, you know, a prema. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, because everybody has, you know, basic feelings. But then we have to differentiate whether it's Partiva, Swargiya, or Vaikuntha.
Yes.
Vaikuntha, and then, but this is very, very fine.
Yes.
And it's also happening fast. Like Mataji, you know, was trying to ask that question, but I was thinking that Sanchari and Sattvika Bhavas, you can't really control it, it just happens.
Yes.
So where's your shelter, this is where you go in that time.
Yes.
So if it's connected to Krishna, it happens. If it doesn't, you can't really fake it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's obvious. Like Sahajiyas, it's really obvious. But
yeah,
amongst themselves, it's always, you know, oh wow, he's faking it so good. Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's because the rati is the attraction, so that's where it's going to go. That's where it'll be expressed. So that it goes, like you see with the Brahmins, the complaint is not really about the connection with Krishna.
Yeah.
It's about how all of their pious activities haven't allowed them to come to that position. So it's an independent vyavichari.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not based on their attraction to Krishna or something connected to Krishna. It's based on their religious activities and how that's not producing their Krishna consciousness.
So this is chaya. That's why
yes.
It's chaya.
Yes. While here it's Gandha because it is connected to Krishna, but the aspect of her conjugal relationship with Krishna is not coming up based on its focus on Krishna. It's come up from Mukara, and as the Mukara is the
grandmother.
Means father's mother?
Mother's father.
Mother's father.
Mother's mother.
Mother's father.
Mother's mother.
Mother's mother. So Momo, not Famo. Yeah? No? Yes, you know. Does that make sense? You go up north and that's it. And you have Fa and Mo, and then grandmother is Momo. Grandfather is Fafa, you know, or Mofa or Famo, or you know, whatever it is. It's just they have all that.
So they eat in Momos or what?
Yeah, well, you have to go more east for that, and they do, yes. Like that. Hmm? Yeah, I've also heard farther south that there's some tribes, they do that also. Yes?
At your level, is it possible to see Rati in the different day after day or worship, by example, when we worship Govardhan, we don't each day is different for each. Is it also different
for Rati? You see, the Rati is a fixed element. It means what particular attachment. Like Mother Jashoda, it's always going to be parental. So what we're talking about here, the Vyabhicharis, is that these are what's that term Prabhupada uses?
Disturbing.
Their emotions that come up that are a disturbance to the natural flow of the Rati, like that. And so it therefore creates certain flavors, and when it therefore then generates a further progression in the whole thing, there it's known as Santri. That it creates a disturbance, that's the Vyabhichari. It's a contradiction. And then when it furthers some particular display of devotion, then that's something called santri. It's the same thing, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're simply trying to see is that these variety of emotions come up from different ways and give different effects. So you're just showing that these 33. Vyabhichari bhavas, how they give so many effects and even their subtleties break down. When vam vyabhichari can have so many different either effects or sources. And so, does that make sense? So you're just showing how they're all connected together. Is it necessary to? Do you need to pass by that? Not necessarily, but the point is that they give examples, and so now they're giving examples of Mother Jashoda. Right? So wherever you see is in the pastime that the acharyas have documented that, then they'll generally quote from there. Because there's unlimited things that are going on, and a certain portion of those then are spoken. Like Bhagavatam is what could be spoken in 7 days, you know. And so, in some sense, yeah. And so, yeah.
Something for see if I, as example, during Gita Mela, the evening we dance with devotees and kids also. And the kids, they are natural, they don't cook for reproduce the leader, like they are more intimate. If one has inspiration, the other will change his dance and they are kind of chained for sustain the name for. Is it also a form of constant and fixed?
No, because here it means what relationship you have with Krishna. There, when we in the devotional process, we say someone's fixed in devotion. It doesn't mean they're fixed in a particular rati. They're fixed in that they're always engaged in devotional activities. So you have to see is that you have that original place, and then you have how emotions are reflected in the material world. Then you have a mix of that when we're dealing with the progress of devotional service. So the mechanics are the same. Two, four, 2:24. When these vyavichari bhavas manifest inappropriately in unqualified persons, they are actually semblances or abhasas of vyavichari bhavas. There are two types of inappropriateness, appearing in persons hostile to Krishna and being improperly credited. Shiva Goswami, in order to show two types of abhasa of the vyavichari bhavas, two types of inappropriateness are shown in the second half of the verse. 2:4, 2:25. Unfavorable vyavichari bhava bhasa. When the bhavas are present to those hostile to Krishna, they are called pratikula, unfavorable. Footnote 9. This is similar to the sattvika bhavas appearing in the enemies of Krishna, which was called pratipa. Right? So we see is that you have the thing of those who it's favorable to Krishna, it's about Krishna. And then you have the demons, because they also are feeling emotions and everything like that. And it's in connection with Krishna, but it's unfavorable to Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. The two types of improper manifestation of vyavichari bhavas are now shown. First, the pratikulyam variety is shown. An example of 2:4, 2:26. An example of hostile manifestation of self-deprecation. When the cowherd boy without training killed... When the cowherd boy without training killed the horse demon, who is my very life and soul, what is the need for me, the unfortunate King Kamsa, who defeated Indra as play to maintain my life? Mm-hmm. Right, so here he's get self-deprecation, and it's coming, but it's not favorable to Krishna. Right, the mood coming up is not because of his attraction and his mood of serving Krishna. It's coming up in connection with Krishna, but it's about his feeling, his inimical feelings towards Krishna. Yes. So in his inimical feelings towards Krishna, then there's this vyavichari bhava of self-deprecation. Srila Prabhupada, no, a cowherd boy, right, because he's a kshatriya. Mm-hmm. And then without training, right, so he tried to make it even worse. Srila Prabhupada, when the Keshi demon was assassinated by Krishna, Kamsa became hopeless. He said, Keshi Daitya was dear to me as my own life, but he has been killed by some cowherd boy who is crude, uneducated and ignorant in fighting, right? So he hasn't gone to the school and learned all the techniques and everything like that. Even though I have defeated the King of Heaven without difficulty, still I do not know the value of life. End quote. Because this hopelessness has a slight touch of attraction to Krishna, it's considered to be a reflection of ecstatic love in hopelessness. Because there's some like that. So that's why then it's given as a reflection. Right? So abhasa, right? 2:4, 2:27. Another example of hostile manifestation concerning envy. O foolish Akrura, this Kaliya is only a harmless water snake. Govardhan Mountain is only a lump of earth. You are attributing the title of controller of the universe to a person who has just controlled a harmless snake and lifted a pile of earth. Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa once rebuked Akrura by saying, you are such a fool that you are accepting a cowherd boy to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply because he has defeated some harmless water snake. The boy may have lifted one pebble called Govardhan Hill, but what is more surprising than that is your statement that this boy is the personality of Godhead. Right, so they've all heard about these things, whether they care or not. Yeah. So even though he's inimical to God and is not interested and doesn't understand the position of God actually at all, he still will argue over the point if someone's the personality of Godhead or not. Yeah. Right? Because if anybody's going to be, it's going to be him. Like that, 2:4, 2:28. This is an instance of a maliciously opposing element caused by hopelessness in ecstatic love for Krishna. 2:4, 2:28. There are two types of inappropriateness, non-existent, asatya, and unqualified, arogya. non-existent means attributing vyabhichari bhavas to inanimate objects, which cannot have emotions. Unqualified means attributing the bhavas to animals who are unqualified for higher emotions. Srila Jiva Goswami. Anauchityam means unsuitability. In this description of unsuitability, the bhavas do not really exist, and thus all are really asatya, non-existent. However, the two types are distinguished in order to analyze unsuitability in detail. There is no existence of pride or other vyabhichari bhavas in animals or inanimate objects. However, because the animals have life, among the animals, some may have the possibility of the bhavas. Thus, they are distinguished as superior to the non-moving objects like trees. Right, so that way you make a distinction. 2.4, 2.29. Self-deprecation in trees. My life is useless since Krishna has not enjoyed the shade of my branches even once. O Kadamba tree, do not lament. You will attain success in life when Krishna jumps from your branches to punish Kaliya. Srila Prabhupada. One devotee tried to console a Kadamba tree when the tree was lamenting because Krishna had not touched even its shadow. The devotee said, "My dear Kadamba tree, do not be worried. After defeating the Kaliya snake in the Jamuna River, Krishna will come and satisfy your desire." This is an instance of inappropriate hopelessness in ecstatic love for Krishna. 2.4.2.30. Pride in animals. A peacock speaks, "I am very pure. What bird is there to compare with me? Giving up Garuda, the Lord enjoys my feather on his head." Srila Prabhupada. Garuda, the eagle, the carrier of Vishnu, once said, "Who can be more pure than I? Where is there a second bird like me, so able and competent? Krishna may not like me. He may not wish to join my party, but still he has to take advantage of my wings." This is an instance of hopelessness in the neutral mood of ecstatic love. 2.4.2.31. Conscious discrimination and the experience of sweetness described in the Kadamba tree. Consciousness, discrimination, and the experience of sweetness described in the Kadamba tree and other objects should be understood to be only a semblance to those items because they have only consciousness without discriminating powers. Srila Jiva Goswami. Consciousness, jnanam, is certainly present in trees and other objects, and even a little higher understanding, vijnanam. Though they have awareness as if they were humans, that will disappear in them in order to conceal from them the confidential pastimes. In some places, they are described as having emotions. But this should be taken as only a general form, not with discriminating powers. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the gopis, cows, unmoving creatures such as the twin Arjuna trees, animals, living entities, with stunted consciousness such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kaliya, all achieve the perfection of life by unalloyed love for me, and thus very easily attain me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.8. Thus it, samanya drishya, means that they have consciousness without discriminating powers. Right? So they're conscious, but they doesn't have the discriminating powers. Otherwise, if they do, then they're going to disturb the pastimes. Right? So they're unaware of, as it points here, though they have awareness as if they were humans, that will disappear in them in order to conceal from them the confidential pastimes. So if it's not a confidential, then it doesn't necessarily disappear. But it's still, as pointed out, it's without discriminating powers. It's just a particular, something is happening or not. Does that make sense? So the point is because it's connected to Krishna and absorbed in Krishna, it keeps them, it's they're fully absorbed, you know, in bhava. Right? So, yeah. 2.4.2.32. Sometimes four stages are seen in the manifestation of vyabhichari bhavas. Appearance, conjunction, conflict, and disappearance. appearance, utpati, means the initial manifestation of Vyabhicharipava, Srila Prabhupada. The symptoms of a static love are sometimes grouped under four headings, namely generation, conjunction, aggregation, and satisfaction. 2.4.233. Right, because here is that appearance of Harsha. When the sun turned red and Jashoda heard the sound of the flute close by, her bodice became damp with the flow of milk from her breasts. 2.4.234. Appearance of Asuya. O Vishaka, when you came in the morning to the bower, your friend Radha appeared splendid, even though her belt was crooked from her haste in tying it around her waist. When Krishna revealed that confidential matter, Radha sent a crooked glance at him with a frown on her brow. May that Radha purify you. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna once told Radharani, my dear friend, when you tried to meet me alone in the morning, your friend Mekhala remained hungry with envy. Just look at her. Mekhala is the belt. Right? Yeah. Krishna didn't just say her belt's crooked. But that's crass, right? Says your friend Mekhala remained hungry with envy. Just look at her. Because right? Envy, you generally say things are out of line. It's not working properly. Right? When Krishna was joking with Radharani in this way, Radharani moved her beautiful eyebrows crossly. Rupa Goswami prays that everyone may become blessed by this movement of Srimati Radharani's eyebrows. This is an instance of the generation of malice in ecstatic love of Krishna. Right, so it just means it's generated, just has come up. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is an example of utpati, of envy, asuya. By joking in this manner with Radha's associates, this gopi is hinting at her own superior position, arising from her relation of love-hate with Krishna. 2.4.235. When two versions of the same bhava or two different bhavas mix, it is called bhava sandhi. 2.4.236. When the same vyavichari bhava arises from two different causes and joins, it is called sarupa sandhi. Right, because you have the what was the second one? Conjunction. Like when they come together. So you have two types of conjunction. That they're two versions of the same bhava, because remember we have those different flavors that are there? Mm-hmm. You know, is that Rupa Goswami give it the examples that you have that there were 12 other emotions that were mentioned, and say they're not separately described because they're included within the other ones, but they slightly have a flavor because one may come up and then or the other one or whatever it is, because they can have different sources. So things that are common within one kind of mood, and then they are common kind of things, then they come together, though they're different flavors, so you can have that. You know, it's just like, let's say something went wrong, and so then you're feeling very bad, but, you know, like that. So you have that element of self-deprecation, but at the same time as someone was supposed to have done something, so you're angry at them also. Does that make sense? So there are two emotions that are coming up from one mood. So when they come together. Yeah. 2.4.237. Jadya. Caused by favorable and unfavorable circumstances. In the evening, the dead demoness lay on the earth, and your son was sitting on her breast, laughing. When Jashoda heard this, for some time she remained motionless. Srila Prabhupada. One night, after the Putana demon had been killed, baby Krishna could be seen playing upon her breast. Upon seeing this, Jashoda became stunned for some time. This is an example of a conjunction of various symptoms of ecstatic love. The conjunction can be auspicious or inauspicious. Right? So here you have the auspiciousness of just Krishna and his playing and being happy and all that, and her affection for him, but at the same time the inauspiciousness that it's a demoness.
Yes.
And that's the place, and that whole pastime happened. So it's a conjunction of these two kind of things. That the Putin, a demon, had been killed was suspicious, but that Krishna was playing on her breast in the dead of night with no one to help in the case of trouble was inauspicious. Right? Jashoda was caught between auspiciousness and inauspiciousness. So then because of that, then it created the emotionlessness. Right? So that's the thing, is these different things come together and they create something else. So that's the whole point. And depending on which way it's going, which come up, it'll create different things. So you can get unlimited, therefore, taste from this. And we're just counting the Vyabhichari Bhavas. You know? So then where this coming from, all these, it'll all give different. Harihi Om. Oops, another one. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.